of Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 153. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going. And it's getting into holiday season, so, I mean, Amazon's the way to go. I went shopping the other day, and already there's, like, way too many people holiday shopping. And I don't know about you, Derek, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting actually right down to it here. So it's crazy how fast this year's gone by.
Yeah, it's getting to holiday season. I'm pretty excited for Black Friday and Cyber Monday coming up. Usually a ton of good deals. That's like when I pick up a lot of like around the house stuff, just because it's so cheap on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got, what did you get last year? You got some from Best Buy, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you get a TV?
I go to Best Buy like every, no, I haven't got a TV in a while. I don't remember what I got. I got like a Bluetooth speaker, and I think I got Google Home.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what you did. Yeah. But yeah, always good deals this time of the year. That's like one thing, you know, it gets cold for us here. But the one thing to look forward to is awesome deals on tech stuff. So yeah, that's all coming up here, and we'll keep you guys updated on all that, and then, you know, in the coming weeks. But let's, you know, we were off last week, so let's just jump into reviews.
Sure.
The first thing is another awesome gaming keyboard from Fanatec. I took a look at their Mini Streak, which probably is my favorite keyboard of 2018. And this week, I took a look at their Streak, and this is a full-size keyboard, basically the same design, just you're getting your full complement of keys. And I have to say, it's a good keyboard. It's perfectly built. It's completely functional. You know, the Fanatec originally is a gaming team, you know, gaming team where they've branched out. They have a ton of different teams and a ton of different games, and these are built for those type of players. And it has to be functional. So this keyboard is 100% functional. It's built really well. It has a solid aluminum top plate with rounded edges, which actually looks really good. Cherry MX mechanical switches. I reviewed the Red Silent keys, and while I'm not a huge fan of Reds, the Silent aspect is awesome. This is a keyboard that you could totally use at the office. So if you're a huge fan of mechanical keyboards, but obviously most mechanical key switches are quite loud, these Red Silents are great, and like I said, you could use it at the office. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And this also has the really cool wrist rest or palm rest that you can adjust by just lifting it up and moving it down. I haven't seen another company do something like that, and it just makes this even more functional because, again, we're all different shapes and sizes, and you know, somebody might have a longer arm or something like that, or it's more comfortable back a little bit. With a lot of keyboards, you don't get that functionality. With this keyboard, you do. So yeah, just an all-around great keyboard. And obviously, this is fully RGB backlit with software to back it up. And it's only $129. I think that's a great price for this keyboard, especially with Cherry MX switches.
Yeah, it's a really good price. And full RGB and software, not a whole lot to complain about at all.
Full RGB software that's functional and works really well. You can completely remap the keyboard. You can set up macros. Each key has an alternate function key as well. So if you hit the function key and then another key, you can set it. So basically, you have twice the keys, technically, if you really want to do it that way. So yeah, it's really good. It does have a USB pass-through if you like have a USB headset or something and you want to easily connect up top. You know, the only thing that I do, that was missing, like the Mini Streak has a removable USB type C cable. This one just has an attached cable, so I kind of gave him a little bit of ding for that, but it is a full size keyboard, so typically full size isn't something you're going to be taking with you a lot of places compared to a 10 keyless. But yeah, it's just a really good keyboard, and like this is the third Fanatec product that we reviewed, and every one has been good. Like, again, we see it all the time where these gaming clans or groups, they slap their name on a product and it's usually crap, and this is actually really, really good. Like I said, there's really not much I can say bad about it. It's just a good overall product, and I'm really excited to see, you know, the next generation of these products, what they do to improve and make things even better than what they already are. So pretty excited. And like I said, you can't complain about the price. $130, full RGB backlit Cherry MX Switch keyboard. That's really, really, it's built really well too. It has some weight to it, and it has the aluminum top plate on there too. So
sweet. So, yeah. One thing when I'm looking, looking through the photos here, no braided cable.
No braided
cable. I always want to see braided cable, so that's disappointing. It looks like it's a solid enough cable. It doesn't look like it's cheap material, but braided cable just adds that extra little bit of class, you know?
It does. It does. It is a very thick cable, and it's protected on the ends as most USB cables should be, but yeah, you don't have the braided cable there. Maybe, hopefully, that's something they might improve on the whenever they do like a next generation of this.
Right.
But as far as function and, again, quality, minus the cable part, it's just a good keyboard. And, nice. You know, so many keyboard companies try to add all this extra flash, these extra buttons that you pretty much don't ever use, and all this stuff. And this one's just functional. It's solid, and it works. And that's what I really like about the Fanatec products. So,
sweet.
So, yeah, definitely check that out. And we'll go to another gaming product from a company that typically makes esports drinks. The company is called Pwnage, I guess you would call it. And this is their Altair. And this is their first gaming mouse, I believe. And it is a very inexpensive gaming mouse. It comes in at $29.99. So it's $30. But it's matched with a 12,000 dpi sensor. It's the PixArt PMW3360 optical sensor, which almost like every major gaming mouse use these days. Right. That's like the standard. Yeah. It has RGB lighting, it has software, and everything like that. And it's, yeah,
$30.
It's $30. I think that to get your name out there, you need to have a competitive price when it comes to gaming mice, because there's so many.
Sure.
And this has the hardware. The design isn't overly complicated, which tends to lend itself to like an FPS style mouse.
Yeah, it looks like it's ambidextrous. Maybe it doesn't have the left hand side key.
Yeah, it doesn't have the left hand side key or buttons. Design is very similar.
Yeah, very symmetric.
Very symmetric design. But for $30, Ryan reviewed it. He said he really liked it. The software was easy enough to use as well, which always is a big deal when it comes to gaming products. And the RGB lighting looks good to me. It's not crazily overdone. And, you know.
Yeah, it looks like it's RGB strips around the edges.
Top and bottom. Yeah. It looks like the mouse wheel might light up as well.
I mean, the thing that he says is sometimes tough to overcome the stigma of an unknown brand. Definitely. And then I think actually, yeah, you come in at a lower price, but I think $30 kind of almost like devalues it to the point where, like, dude, if I'm clicking through Amazon, I see something priced that cheap, I'm just like, oh, this is just junk, you know? So
yeah,
I guess for them, the big deal is to actually get these in reviewer hands like ours and get the word out that it's actually a good mouse.
Yeah, I mean, $29 with that type of hardware inside. And again, the software does work well. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're looking at a mouse that's 70 to 80, you know, that extra $50 can go towards something else. I mean, that can go towards a better keyboard. Yeah. That can go towards a higher capacity SSD. Headset, it can go towards a lot of things. Yeah.
Obviously, you're not getting like adjustable weights or anything with this, but still.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was thinking about that because there's a lot of mice that just gaming mice that don't have that anymore. Hmm. The adjustable weights.
Is that an old school thing at this point?
No, I mean the latest Logitech one does, and a few other ones do, okay. But like the Corsair mice don't offer it. Hmm. And that's a huge brand, obviously. Like both of the Fanatec ones that I have don't offer it. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's like a, you know.
It was always a big deal.
Something. Yeah, always, because like you want to have a good weight to your mouse depending on
you want it to feel right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I, again, for this mouse, the Altair from Pwnage, I think it's a great mouse. You know, when you go on Amazon and you look at gaming mice in this price range, they're loaded out with RGBs and they're designed to look cool.
Yeah.
But if you look at the specs, especially the sensor, It's nothing great. It's like some unknown brand. PixArt. This sensor specifically is what a lot of gaming mice use these days. Okay. This sensor specifically. So yeah. It has good hardware in there, and it looks pretty good. And like I said, the RGBs look good, and it has good software. And I think for $30, it's worth getting a higher capacity SSD or a better gaming headset, maybe a wireless headset over wired or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, could be. It all depends on how important that hand feel is to you, I guess.
Yeah, that too. And that's when it comes to mice, that's one great thing about Amazon is you have 30-day return on all products. So, like, you know, if you don't have even Best Buy, like, you can, they sell a lot of mice. They have, like, Logitech's, but they don't have, like, a lot of gaming mice. You know, and if you don't have a Fry's or something like that where you can actually, like, you know, test the mouse out before you buy it. Buying on Amazon's a great thing because you have 30-day returns. Super easy. So you can really test it. And the return system is super easy. So definitely check that out. And finally, we have a cool product that we've talked about for a while since it was announced. Is the ADATA XPG Storm, which is their M.2 cooler that's loaded with RGBs. It's specifically made for an 80 millimeter in length M.2 SSD. And sadly, there's still a lot of them that overheat and will throttle. And you think, you know, throttling, or if you think like overheating and throttling is not a big deal, it really impacts performance. We've tested M.2 SSDs that do throttle, and you're going from, say, like, say on average, like 1600 megabytes a second write, which was like what it's rated for, and then it overheats and it goes down to like 300 or 200 megabytes a second, which is just like using a normal SSD. So it's like, why even you know, spend the extra money? So this is a cool little device. It's a heat sink, which is teamed with a cool little 20 millimeter tiny little fan that has a shroud on it that has RGBs embedded in it. So not only does this cool your M.2 drive, but on top of that, it gives you a cool look and obviously RGBs in there. And it does a really good job cooling. In our testing, it was a full, I'm trying to think here, 14 degrees cooler during load, which is a huge deal.
Yeah.
You can see, I did a speed test with a drive that's known to throttle. So with no cooler on it whatsoever, it averaged about 855.9 megabytes a second. Right. And if you look at the graph that the software makes, you can see how it dips down like that. And if you look at the second graph, which is with a cooler installed, we averaged 1323.5 megabytes a second. And you can see the graph, we're very solid across the board. So we're not having any throttling or anything like that happening.
You got one dropout. Is that just the load dropped out?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's just a drive. Because this is, we tested an older drive that was like one of the first generation M.2s, because I knew that drive throttles. So I'm not sure if that was just like a fluke or something. But again, you can see just having a cooler on your M.2 drive makes all the difference when it comes to performance, because it really does. And on top of that, again, this has a standard 4-pin RGB header connection on it. So you can connect it to your motherboard. I ran it on an Asus motherboard. It worked with Aura Sync, no problem. The only issue with this is you have a 20 millimeter fan that's spinning very fast. And if you can connect the fan to a header and control the fan that way through your motherboard software. But if you just like leave it on PWM, it's gonna get a little loud.
Does it?
It's something you, yeah, it okay. Does. So that's something that you're gonna have to keep in mind there.
Did it become the loudest thing in the system?
If I really, if I was like during my full load test, yes.
Which, I mean, it's, you start working with it, you start working on your PC, it's like that's going to happen. Like,
yeah. It wasn't something crazy. It wasn't like some, you know, we've reviewed some products over the years that have just like sound like a spaceship taking
off. It used to happen a lot more. not even that many years ago, it used to happen a lot.
It doesn't, it's not really that bad, okay. Honestly. And I think that it overtakes the fact that you're having throttling issues. I mean, I think that having a better performing M.2 drive is more important than a little bit of noise. And if you're wearing headphones, you're definitely not going to hear it. You're not. Okay. So it's not that bad. This this retails for $27.99, which I don't think is that bad. I looked up a bunch of different M.2 coolers that look horrible. A lot of these are really ugly for some reason.
Something so simple.
Yeah, and obviously this one offers RGB, which gives it a little bit, and they're all around the same price. So if you're okay with a little bit of noise, this is a cool product, especially if you have an M.2 drive that is overheating, and your motherboard, of course, doesn't have those, doesn't have the covers. Now, one thing you have to keep in mind, because you have the cooler, or because you have the shroud on there, it makes it a little bit thick. So a lot of new motherboards have their M.2 drives directly under where a graphics card would sit, and this will definitely get in the way.
Oh, okay. So that was two questions. That was one of them. It's 100%. Yeah. There's no way around that.
Yeah, there's no way around that if your M.2 is located there. Okay. No way around it.
Bummer. So. So for sure it comes up above the slot. How much yes. taller is it than the slot? Twice as high?
I'd say about twice as high as the slot. Okay,
that's a bummer.
Yeah.
No mud in your way around that one.
Yeah, there is a heat sink, and you could probably take the shroud and the fan off. But then obviously you would lose the RGB effects.
And you might as well just buy a standard heatsink one then.
Yeah, you might as well just, I mean, EK makes a heatsink. Yeah. Who else? Aquatune?
Probably CryoRig makes a really cool one.
Yeah, there's a couple of ones that are out there that are just the
Then my other question is the drive doesn't go inside it or anything. It just sits on top of it, correct?
Yes. Okay.
Because it almost looks like you have a drive like inside it from the side view. But let me go back to that picture because I do want to.
So basically what you do is you take your M.2 out of your system.
Yep.
You place it on the bottom of this, and this has a thermal tape on it.
Okay.
And you line it up. So the hole in the end of it, if you see the little hole in the end of it, that lines up with the hole on your M.2 drive.
Okay, so you install the screw through there.
Yeah, and then they provide actually two different screws for different M.2 mountings. And you just screw it in while putting it into the slot. It's really easy.
Okay, it looks like there's little hooks on the end that kind of grab it.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the... It looks like there's a piece of PCB in the middle of it, though.
That's the PCB is for the RGBs. Okay. I believe the RGBs sit on that.
Is that does it go across the whole thing? I'm thinking that looks like a poor thermal design almost, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
You
know what I mean though? Like it looks like it would block off the heatsink from the fan. I mean, it obviously works, so I guess not, right? But
yeah, it seems like maybe it might be cut off at the end.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I didn't take it apart, so I'm not specifically sure.
Well, destroy it for us and let us know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
kidding. Kidding. Do that for you. Where you can see clearly, warranty voided for move, Bob. Don't void your warranty.
Yeah. So, what is it we're supposed to do? We're supposed to So if you're looking to cool your M.2 and want to add a little bit of flair to your system, because it does look really cool in the system, you know, it's something to check out. Just, like I said, just a little bit of noise there. But yeah, that is our reviews for this past week. And it is the beginning of the month, which that means we have our 20 of the worst PC setups article, which of course is where we go out and find people who have really bad PC setups. And some of these are just bad.
Yeah. Now you just moved. Are we gonna find a photo in here from your situation?
No. The first thing I did before I even organized clothes is I set up my desk.
Nice.
That was literally the first thing I did.
That's priorities. You know, you gotta have your priorities straight. So.
Yeah. No, I did have my PC on the ground for like 3 days.
Oh.
But But it wasn't like it was carpet. It's all wood floor in here, so we're good. But it's up on a thing now. Oh, I did post some pictures. I don't know if I posted everything, but yeah, we'll be more pictures in the future of the new setup, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end of the podcast. Right. But some of the things about this month is a lot of people were submitting their mobile gaming setup where they're playing. I think people are playing PUBG on their phone.
Hacked PUBG.
with a mouse and keyboard attached.
Dirty.
Yeah, it's really funny how these kids
man, and their need to win at that game.
I know
somebody who doesn't do this, but he does mouse and keyboard on Xbox. He had to buy some device to do that with, and I'm like, man, like, he's like, I'm doing so good. I'm like, you're just straight up cheating though. Like
this, and then this other guy looks like he has a gamepad, like what were those called? This looks like an old one. I forget the name of the company that used to make them. On the second page, he has a wireless Logitech wireless mouse and I forget the name of the company that makes those. It might even be a cool. No, I don't think it's Cooler Master. But anyways, it's like one of those little game pads that gives you like WASD. Like it gives you like half the keyboard.
What do they call those? Somebody I knew wanted one not too long ago, and I found that they don't actually make too many of them anymore.
They don't. I could see it being super useful for this.
Oh yeah.
Because all you need is WASD and like a spacer jump, and this has the little thumb jump, but big button on it. So, but yeah, those are really funny to see. But yeah, a lot of really bad setups this month. Some funny ones, some people moving, some people just they don't have money for a desk, and
some people just like seem to forget to buy the case when they build a computer.
Yeah, a lot of those this month too. So definitely. Check that out. Always a funny article. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And that is where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Cougar Golden Black build from Songate Custom. And he is the guy who we know for a lot of Scratch builds. So this is interesting to see his work in a normal system.
Off the shelf, like chassis.
Yeah, it's the Cougar Conqueror case. The
Cougar copy case. Okay, go on.
It's not the copy case.
Isn't it? Is it the other way around?
Is
Antec the one that copied it?
Yes. Okay. The one that copied
it. My bad.
So this is the original case. This is the Conqueror case. And he hasn't done a whole lot of changes in this. Obviously added RGB fans and painted it different colors with the gold accents. Obviously, he has a custom, which I really, really do like, is the reservoir mount that he has kind of designed in there. Yeah. Really, and it matches the gold theme. And this is all gold, so he has a Titan V in there. Mm-hmm. And he has water cooling with clear coolant with gold fittings from Bits Power, which looks really good.
It's obviously clear coolant, but somehow he's got... I guess the reservoir just has LEDs in it. It really does a great job of lighting the color up. That photo with it green, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. Full mono block on, it's an X Power. Who makes X Power boards?
Not for sale. I don't know.
I forget. I think that might be.
Is that in the North American market?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's like, it's an older board. It's an MSI. I'm pretty sure it's an MSI board. It's like their old school overclocking board.
Dude, possibly. just Googling X Power doesn't even get results.
I'm not sure. But anyways, just a cool build. MSI. Not a whole lot. I mean, when you have this case, this is an open air chassis. Yeah. It's already going to look awesome. So you really don't need to do a whole lot. And he really hasn't. Just some awesome water cooling with the hard tubing with almost perfect bends, it looks like, and just a mono block on there, and graphics card is just the stock graphics card because it is gold anyways. So yeah, I think it's really good.
Nice.
I don't know what else you think about it, but I think
solid. it's pretty simple. Gotta love the golden black theme. Can't get enough of those builds. kind of haven't seen many in a little while, I would say. But
yeah,
it was kind of three or 4 years ago, maybe. We saw a lot of Gold and Black, and yeah, I still love it. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. Yeah, looks good. It's just simple.
So yeah, it's just a simple build, and it just shows you can really create something really awesome with not a whole lot of modding, I would say.
Yeah, or really even a whole ton of hours into this. You could, anybody I think could do this if they did their, homework and did it right.
Yeah, and like companies now offer the bending kits for these, for the hard tubing and all that. I know Thermaltake and Alpha Cool do, so.
Yeah,
so definitely check out this build. Just really simple and really, really cool. So let's jump into news and big news of the day, because it just happened today, was AMD unveiled Zen 2. They went over their CPU microarchitecture and the new 7-nanometer Vega Radeon Instinct MI60, which is a compute accelerator. It's not a mainstream graphics card, so don't get too excited. Yeah. So first, let's talk about Zen 2, because I think that's the more exciting thing about it, about this whole thing, because the accelerator, all the specs for the accelerator doesn't really matter to us, lonely consumers, because we're not going to see hardly any of it when it gets trickled down, at all.
Right.
So, when it comes to Zen 2, the starting or the flagship product is going to be called Rome. That's the code name for it. And it's a multi-chip module, just like their other processors, of 4 to 8 7-nanometer dies. And they're wired to a centralized die over Infinity Fabric. And this is basically called an IO die. So it's going to be a multi-chip module. Everything's going to be on the chip. And that allows them to overcome bandwidth issues that previous generations have had, and it allows for a lot of things. So it would allow for 8-channel DDR4 memory interface. It would allow for 96-lane PC Express Gen 4.0 root complex. And it's going to, hopefully, if they use 8 CPU cores per Rome, if each die has 8 cores, then the total core count would be 64. So you would see a 64 core flagship product,
right,
whatever that would be. And they're going to increase, you're going to get increased IPC, that's instructions per clock. And they've actually really overhauled a lot of things with this. So like with Zen, from Zen to Zen Plus, which is Ryzen 2, you saw anywhere from 3 to 5% IPC performance increase. With this, you should see double digit from Zen Plus, which would be really awesome. So they've done a lot to really make this not just another product. What they've really done with Zen and going into Zen 2 here, AMD's really making an impact. We already saw it with the Ryzen processors and obviously Ryzen 2. This is going to be built on 7-nanometer. They've doubled a lot of the things that are on the chip to make it better. And you're going to get the power properties of 7-nanometer as well on this. Obviously, no word on anything, not even any when 7-nanometer CPUs will be available, not even on the enterprise level.
Okay.
But it's exciting because I think that AMD is really going to have Intel chasing, because again, Intel's still on 14-nanometer. And AMD into 2019 will be on 7. And Intel couldn't get 10 down.
Yeah, they scrapped 10.
Yeah, so what, like, I mean, I think this is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I it could that... be. Wait, I'm having trouble getting my head around the description. Are we talking about what is essentially a Threadripper part here? With the use of Infinity Fabric? Like, this is, the description sounds nothing like a standard
mainstream processor. Yes. Yeah. So obviously when 7-nanometer launches on the processor side, we should see the enterprise chips first.
Right.
We should.
What we're talking about here is Ryzen 2 Enterprise. Or excuse me, Zen 2 Enterprise parts.
Zen 2 Enterprise
parts. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So but a lot of this stuff will trickle down to the like client segment. At least it should.
Yeah,
Especially the on-chip things.
Right. I'm just, like, the description is like, this sounds like much more of a part than what we're normally talking about. Okay, so, all right, I got you now. So the big thing here is that they have a working 7-nanometer part.
Yes. The first real part, of course, is the Vega Radeon Instinct MI60. This is a GPU, so it's the first GPU built on 7-nanometer fabrication process. Right. And it will be one of the first commercially available products built on 7-nanometer, which is a big deal for them. It is the first PCI Express 4.0 product also.
Yeah.
And it will be available this, I think they, before the end of the year, I know that. So this quarter.
In 2018?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Are there boards that support that? The Gen 4? Or is it just going to be running Gen 3?
I'm not sure. Well, all I know is that this... is for enterprise.
So right.
If enterprise ports would support it, possibly.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of what they announced today. No solid dates on anything, which is kind of expected because this is like not, they're not ready for obviously anything client related when it comes to 7-nanometer. But it's a start and it they have a working part. And everything will trickle down from there. So it's great to see. AMD is just doing a lot of things. Now, on the GPU side, I'm a little more hesitant to be excited just because we know AMD's...
this means history. Nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
We know AMD's history when it comes to GPUs. Yeah. So I love what they've done with Zen. And obviously Zen 2 is going to be a pretty big deal for them. From what it seems.
Yeah.
And but just the GPU side, I just really have to see a product. I have to see how it competes against NVIDIA, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it'll be interesting to see what they how they end up building up those Zen 2 parts for mainstream. That's most curious about that as well. I don't want to hear the words Infinity Fabric necessarily because it's that's probably going to be fine for enterprise because you're most likely working with Unix or something like that, so you don't have issues. But Infinity Fabric has issues on the Windows side, so let's not see mainstream parts with that. It's one thing to deal with it with Threadripper, but I'd rather not see anything lower.
Yeah.
You know, more mainstream get mixed up with that, which I doubt it will. This is probably just them trying to build up such a big chip.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see, and we'll obviously let you guys know, you know, when we get more information on these products and stuff like that. I'm sure we'll see some type of demo or some type of information at CES, which is coming up. So
yeah, you think we're still, I mean, we were kind of talking about maybe even seeing a CES launch of some sort of Zen 2. Do you think we're on track for that, or does this kind of say it's probably going to be stepped back a little bit for mainstream?
Probably back a little bit. I would think. I mean, if you think about it, Ryzen 2 launched when? Like March or April?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think that you would see something at CES. Probably another, like,
it would, March it would, and April. It would be the 2-year mark, though.
Interesting.
So,
right.
Timeline wise, yeah. I mean, they could have it. I mean, AMD isn't necessarily, like, we've seen them, like, do announcements and then, like, I would say they have parts faster, like actual production parts available faster than both NVIDIA and Intel. Would you agree with that? Like, yeah, both the other, both those two, we see like announcements like this way ahead of time, like 6 months to a year before we ever see anything.
Yeah.
And as I feel like with AMD, so, we sometimes see parts sooner.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously, when we get the details at CES, we'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to if it is going to happen. So it's
fun, pretty exciting. Fun stuff. When it happens there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always good to see a product launch in person. It's always just more hype and more exciting that way. So.
Yep.
So yeah. So we'll move from CPU stuff to GPU stuff, and a really interesting story is that you can buy an RTX 2080 Ti for cheaper than a GTX 1080 Ti currently.
That's silly.
It looks like, at least it seems like NVIDIA has stopped producing the GTX 1080 and 1080 Ti cards.
Well, that's good.
So yeah, but it looks like the prices, because of this, the prices are just skyrocketing. You know, an RTX 2080 is $769 on Newegg, and the cheapest 1080 Ti is $850. An RTX 2080 is $799 on Amazon, and a GTX 1080 Ti is $878.
The 2080 is faster.
Yeah.
Hmm. What happened to the GPU market? When, like, it was mining, right? That's what happened. But, like, did it, like, make everybody stupid?
I don't know.
Like, who goes out and buys this? Because if there wasn't somebody to buy it, the pricing wouldn't be there.
And what's really interesting about this story is a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people, this is time to buy, time to build a new PC. And they're not really that impressed with the RTX cards. They're just not. Ray tracing, hasn't really made a big impact yet, and a lot of people are building, you know, a 1080 Ti or even a 1080 is a good alternative to the RTX cards, or at least was.
Well, they priced themselves right out of NVIDIA priced the 2000 series just right out of the hands of most PC builders. Like, most of these people, and when we say people, we're really kind of talking kids. They're not. No, that's just too much money.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are fearing that this is not only going to be for the 1080 Ti, it's going to trickle down to 1080, 1070, and 1070 Ti, which are really the mainstream parts, especially the 1070 and 1070 Ti's, and that they just won't be available. And then you're just going to have to get an RTX card, which would really suck.
But I mean, that is what is supposed to happen. But yeah, price-wise.
But you would think that we would see it opposite. You would think that the GTX cards would go down in price as the new cards come in. Yeah. You see a price drop. But I guess that's not the case here. We'll obviously follow this and see what happens. But it's kind of a sad story because, again, when a new card's released, it's always like, oh, man, I'm going to get the old one because it's going to be half the price or whatever.
Yeah. I think that NVIDIA should take notice of, I mean, I'm sure they have, in sales, like, your pricing is wrong. It's inaccurate. It's wrong. They really need to come in and adjust the pricing on the RTX cards.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So
I just don't think they're going to sell. I mean, you can buy, you can build your entire rest of your PC for the cost of an RTX card. So
yeah. Yeah, so
I think people will continue to, they'll buy used, they'll buy whatever they can get their hands on, and that 20 series just isn't going to move, I don't think. And we don't have an article here, but did you see that, or have you heard that the RTX cards are having issues, many more issues than usual?
Well, maybe that's what they're doing, is they're stopped making the 10 series to force people to have to get the 20 series. I mean, if there's nothing else available, or if a 1080 is available for more than an RTX card, like, I'm just going to get the RTX card. Like, yeah, you know what yeah. I mean? So you just don't know what's going to happen here. So yeah, kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
We'll just, like I said, we'll just have to keep on tracking it and see if this changes, or see if what the issue is. But it appears that they stopped making the cards, and that's why the prices have gone up, because there's only so many left.
Yeah.
Talking about RTX cards, Gigabyte released their water-cooled, their Aorus Extreme RTX WaterForce WB graphics cards, and I'll ask for your opinion on this, because you're the water cooling guy. What do you think? That this is an RTX 2080 and 2080 Ti with a full cover water block, with of course a ton of RGBs. These are renders, so
yeah,
but it gives you an idea of what the card looks like. What do you think?
It looks great. Looks a lot better than some of the other ones we've seen. The backplate isn't the most impressive. They went with the flat black with some lines on it. I think if they would have matched the brushed aluminum look that the front has on part of it to the back, that would have looked a lot better. That flat black, I mean, we've seen that for 8 years, I don't know, 10 years, yeah. Since they've been making backplates, that's kind of what they've looked like. So I would have, if I were them, I would have steered clear of that, but that's okay. You can do it. You can probably do a custom one or whatever you want. But other than that, I think it looks good. You?
Yeah, I like the look of it. Obviously, the RGBs are going to make it look even better. Yeah. These are both factory overclocked too.
Cool.
I think they look good. I'm not complaining about.
No word on pricing.
No word on pricing yet, but they're expect them to be at least 150 over the normal, maybe even 200 over the normal, just because the cost. I'm just factoring in the cost of a block, plus these are factory overclocked and all that kind of stuff.
For some reason, they just add a certain amount of value to any of the water-blocked cards, like the Hydros from EVGA or anyone else. Like, they have a really weird pricing jump anytime you buy one with a factory water block on it.
Yeah. So, but I think they're one of the better custom RTX cards, the custom with custom block on it. I think they're one of the better looking ones.
Agreed.
That I've seen. So talking about water cooling, a really interesting thing happened is that Lian Li, the case manufacturer, has teamed up with Bits Power to make a custom reservoir / pump combo for their PC-011 dynamic case, which is probably their most popular case in recent memory.
It's extremely popular case.
Oh, it's such a great case. So Bits Power has this custom reservoir, and this reservoir is not your typical tube reservoir. It's a acrylic panel that's made to slot into the case. You can see in the picture in the article, on the motherboard tray, almost towards the front of the case.
Yeah, on the right hand side of the motherboard on the tray.
This looks like something a custom modder would build, that you can just buy now.
It looks exactly like the acrylic panels that we've seen in nearly every custom mod as of late.
It has a pump. Yeah. It has a pump on the bottom,
which is the best part right there. It's built-in pump. What type of pump is it?
It's a Lang.
Okay, Lang DCC.
DCC pump. Yeah. It has built-in pressure relief valve at the top as well. And this is, I don't ever think I have seen anything like this. This is the first time we've seen a water cooling company team up with a case company to build a commercially available product like this. We've seen it obviously with graphics cards, and we've seen it, I think, just with graphics cards. Well, graphics cards and motherboards for monoblocks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's not even really the same.
Yeah. This is the first time we've seen something like this, and I don't know if it's the start of something.
I mean, it'd be great if this is the next segment of reservoirs. Sweet, bring them on. These are awesome.
Yeah, obviously this thing's loaded with RGBs as well.
Yeah,
I think this could be the start of something really cool. So many people want that look with these flat reservoirs that either go on the front, or in this case, the rear panel there. And it's just, it's a lot of work. A lot of modders don't even build these themselves. They take it to a shop and they do it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to see it, so.
Yeah, so this allows for that really cool look that so many professional modders do. And it's, you know what I mean? It's yeah. so easy. You just buy it. I don't know. There's no word on pricing yet or anything like that. I don't believe.
It'll probably be a couple hundred bucks.
That it's, yeah, I mean, I think that this adds so much to your system.
Absolutely. The built system they have looks great.
Yeah, it doesn't have a price on their website either.
I mean, you got to figure the pump is ballpark of $70. What is it? It's been a minute.
Yeah. But still, I think that...
Yeah, 60, 70 bucks. And then, yeah, the reservoir, it's probably going to be close to $200.
I'd pay $200 for it.
I mean, you're going to buy those parts anyways.
So I think it's great. I think it's really, really cool. Again, the first time we've seen this. So hopefully this maybe starts a trend. And, you know, the case company is probably like their most popular case. At any given time might have a matching reservoir.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Custom built by... We can see EK get into this, obviously Bits Power, Alpha Cool. I mean, we can see all these companies get into it. And we'll just kind of see how this whole thing plays out. But not only is this cool, but hopefully it's the start of something. And I think that if it is, we're going to see a lot of cool products come out.
There's a lot of possibilities when you get into this type of product. You can do all sorts of different panels and
especially for cases that are very modular, cases that you can take parts out of.
Yeah, I mean,
and things like that.
You have the case where like you have removable hard drive trays in that entire section of the case, that front right hand side. Well, you just design this acrylic panel to just like, it's got hooks on the back and it just hooks into that same system, you know, provided designed with the case manufacturer in mind, and it's secure, it's good to go. Not a lot of risk. The biggest risk with this is that acrylic pieces this size, you can get warping and stuff. So it's a lot to stay sealed. So, I mean, I would say that your leak risk is much higher with this type of reservoir than with a standard like tube reservoir. But not that I'm doubting Bits Power, you know, did a good job with this. It's just, it's a large piece of plastic is what it is.
Yeah. So, well, like I said, we'll see. And if we get a price, we'll put it on the website. Yeah. But there isn't one yet. So
that's very cool.
Though. I think it's awesome. Yes. So talk about NAND and DRAM. Yeah. Both stories. It looks like we'll have price drops for both.
Continued for NAND.
Yeah, continued for NAND price drop. So if you've noticed, SSDs have gotten cheaper over the past couple of months.
It's probably more than you even thought, because it's actually, 50% over the course of 2018?
Yeah, so the NAND flash prices have dropped 50% over 2018, and it's expected that they'll continue to drop into 2019. And that's awesome. Yeah. I think that now, like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, like Black Friday, all these times are perfect going into Christmas and even going into the new year. It's a great time to buy an SSD. That's what this NAND pricing really means for us computer people, is that SSDs are going to be cheaper. So this means that, you know, if you're looking to spend a certain amount of money, maybe now you can get that NVMe drive instead of your typical, you know, 2.5-inch SSD.
Yeah, I think a great item for Black Friday would be an NVMe drive.
It's so fast, especially a lot of these ones that, you know, you're getting 3,000, read, which is 3,000 megabytes a second read, which is amazing, compared to like, you know, on a typical SATA drive, an SSD, you're going to get like 550 at most. Yeah. That's like your bandwidth limitation there. And of course on a normal hard drive, which I don't even know the speeds now, but I think it's like,
still
on a typical, it's still
sub
like,
200, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sub 200 for sure. You know, and in most drives are like 150 probably. Yeah. I'm guessing. So obviously the performance increase is crazy. So I think this is just great. This is great for anybody looking to buy SSDs and just making the whole PC building process better and easier for people to get into those high performance drives. And this just means, especially when it comes to gaming too, this is like faster load times, faster with your PC, it's faster startup times. It's all that kind of stuff. So yeah, so it's awesome to see that. And we'll see the same thing with DRAM.
We should, at least.
So the DRAM pricing is expected to drop into 2019. We saw we've seen 10.14% price drop quarter over quarter for modules already. And we should see that continue to drop. So again, if you're building a system, this is a great time because, you know, DDR4, especially the RGB kits, which everybody wants, are very expensive. It's a good part of your build. I mean, it's usually like $300.
Yeah, which is... So remember, you didn't used to have to like plan for RAM unless you were getting something fancy. Like, dude, you just throw like $60 into your RAM and you were good to go. But yeah, that DRAM is really driven up and it stayed up, so it's good to see that it's coming back down. And we know that a lot of this is due to, you know, is it Samsung? And who were they working with in price fixing? Weren't they being investigated by the Chinese government?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of price fixing going on. Mike,
yeah. So I'm just looking on Amazon really quickly. You can get a 16 gigabyte kit of RGB memory, Corsair Vengeance RGB Pro, 3000 megahertz, 16 gigabyte kits. That's 2 8-gig modules for $144.99.
That's down quite a bit. Pretty good. Yeah.
The G-Skill Trident Zs, same thing, DDR4 3000, 16 gig kits, $159.
Be great to see that, because that's like a standard kit, right? It'd be great to see that back down below the $100 mark. Oh, it does have RGB now, so like, okay, they do have more value, right, than they used to, because RAM was RAM.
So, let me find a non-RGB
set.
Why are these so expensive? Oh, these are... I'm like, why are these ones so expensive?
They're like 4,000.
No, there's, I'm trying to find ones that don't have. The prices are kind of all over the place on Amazon. Okay.
Yeah, that is it. Amazon can be kind of wishy-washy with price comparisons.
But yeah, I think prices are going to continue to drop. So just again, PC building, besides our graphics cards, obviously, will be relatively less expensive going into the new year. And I think it's just great. I think that will enable more people to do, you know, dual, or, you know, do four DIMMs instead of the typical two, which a lot of people do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to make it much more more accessible for people to get more memory and everything.
Yeah,
like
more
that,
and so. Faster, because faster memory can make quite a bit of a difference in the way your machine handles. So.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely just keep that in mind now till. I mean, I would say into 2019 would be a great time to build a new PC, and that will be, you know, a great money savings where you could put towards that more expensive graphics card, for sure.
Yeah,
so
just offset that a bit.
Yep. So we'll go into some gaming news. We have two Battlefield 5 stories. First, the system requirements were revealed for the game by EA and DICE, and the minimum system requirement is either an AMD FX 8350 or a Core i5 6600K, 8 gigabytes of RAM. On the graphics side, you need a GTX 1050 or a RX 560.
RX 560, is that rebranded from something?
Yeah, so it would be like a... Well, they also list an HD 7850 2 gigabyte.
Okay.
Or on the NVIDIA side, they list a GTX 660.
Okay.
And you'll need 50 gigabytes of space, which is kind of standard these days games like this. And then they have... the recommended system requirements would be a Ryzen 3 1300X or Core i7 4790.
I'm confused right now.
12 gigabytes of RAM?
Yeah.
a GTX 1060 6GB or an RX 580 8GB.
I feel like they're kind of just throwing processors at the wall and saying, yeah, that's the one you need. Hopefully that one sticks, because 6600K, isn't that faster than a 4790?
No, that's the
i5. That was a newer part.
Yes, but it's a Core i5.
i7. Oh, it's not the 67, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's going to be... I'd want to see graphs to see exactly which one is actually faster. I don't know. I guess my point is that the CPU doesn't matter so much.
I think they kind of just throw these out there. Like, this is an idea of the performance that you need to have.
Right.
Obviously, the graphics are the big things here. So in order to probably play the game at decent frame rates, at probably decent resolutions, like a 1060 6GB or an RX 580 8GB, that's the recommended. Yeah. And then they have their DXR or ray tracing, which we're not even going to go into because not a lot of people are going to have that anyways.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like that is somewhat important to talk to with this game specifically, because this is the first game to have that. So, I mean, yes, if you are interested in being on the cutting edge of graphics, then this is the way to do it.
Microsoft did pull their October 2018 update. The 1809 update was pulled.
Oh. Wait, that was pulled. Wasn't that pulled because it was killing systems, though?
Yeah, I don't know why it was pulled, but it was pulled. So you're not going to get ray tracing yet, anyways. Hopefully, by the time the game comes out, you will. But yeah, you'll need an RTX 2070, which of course that's the stand. That would be the standard.
Yes, you have to
for that. So yeah, and you'll need 16GB of RAM, i7-8700 or a Ryzen 7-2700.
Do you feel like the RAM requirement might be low?
No.
Kind of feel like we're getting where you want to be beyond that.
I don't think, not for this game. I mean, all Battlefield games have never really used a lot of, at least in my experience, haven't used a lot of memory. And even their graphics have really not been super demanding. Mm-hmm. The Battlefront games and all the Battlefield games I've played, they've never been super demanding on my system. So
interesting. Because they've always...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
we've always thought. I always thought they were more cutting edge. Like they were the more graphically accurate.
They offer cutting edge technology, but they're never super. Even with everything crazy turned up, like they're never like Crysis. Like Crysis was the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Or like Grand Theft Auto 5 was always a game that if you turned everything up, you're slow.
That was just because it was drawing so much for Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like certain games, when you turn everything up, it was like insane. All the Far Cry games have been like that. But Battlefield has never really been like that. If you put it on Ultra and you're running even 4K, I mean, you're still getting 60 to 70 frames a second compared to, say, like if I would do like GTA 5 at 4K with everything turned up, I'm getting like 30. You know what I mean? Another thing with Battlefield 5 is that the very highly anticipated Battle Royale mode called Firestorm won't be part of the actual game. I'm not specifically sure if it will be. I don't believe it's a DLC. It will just be like
Of course it would be a DLC.
I mean, it's DLC, but I don't think it's paid DLC.
Don't put it past them.
You have to... Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them for one. And two, there are DLCs that you can buy in between, which they've laid out. But Firestorm will not be available till March, which I think is stupid. PUBG and Fortnite are so popular. Why wouldn't you include this with the initial game?
I don't think it's required.
I wouldn't say it's required, but EA is EA, right?
It's not a battle royale. I mean, like play the story, play the other modes, and then it'll come out. Like,
I don't know. I just. I don't know, like that. This was one of the things that EA touted with the game, and a lot of people were excited for, because I don't know, you know, a lot of people want to change, obviously, and they do love the Battle Royale style, which is very popular, and to be able to do that with Battlefield and the Battlefield engine, I think people are excited about it. And for it to not to be part of the original game, which, again, I'm not super surprised. It's EA. This is not anything, you know. But, yeah, so you won't be able to get it till March. So if that's one of the if that's one of the things that you're looking forward to buying the game, you'll have to wait till March to get it. So kind of disappointing for if that's one of the reasons you were going to get the game. So. Yeah. So, yeah, so over the weekend was BlizzCon, which is Blizzard's yearly event where they talk about new projects and what they have going on, and it's a big, big thing. And I think the biggest, at least for PC gamers, I think the biggest announcement of the event was they'll be remastering Warcraft 3. It's going to be released in 2019 as Warcraft 3 Reforged. All of the heroes, all the units, all of the buildings, all of the maps will be completely redone. And obviously the game will support higher resolutions up to 4K. And it's going to have the same gaming as the 2002 game. Which I think it might, I mean, that and Command and Conquer, which again, we've heard stories of that that will be remade as well. We talked about it on the podcast. These were like the two really big RTS games. And I don't think there's been a really good RTS game since then. I mean, nothing comes to mind, I don't think.
I can't really speak to it because that's not really one of my genres. So.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play a lot of RTS. I played a lot of Warcraft and all that. And I like that they're bringing new life. I honestly would like a new game because, I mean, that's what you would expect. But I think that they'll sell a lot of these. It's $30. You can pre-order it already. You know, they released some trailers and stuff like that. It looks good. But it's nothing like super crazy or anything like that. But I mean, I'll probably buy it just to play it. I love the tower defense modes in this and all the different things you can do. I'll buy it to play it just because it's a fun game. And I played World of Warcraft. I like the Warcraft universe. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'll play it.
I never really get drawn into the remasters. But I guess if something like, if for some reason they managed to remaster like Crysis, I guess I would get into that too. So I guess I guess the remaster really comes down to whether you have a nostalgia for the game. So
I agree. And I think that this game specifically, a lot of people, I mean, this was like the number one, probably one of the best selling RTS of all time. Could be wrong on that, but I mean, this was the game, you know, for a lot of people. So I'll get it. I don't know when specifically it's going to be available, but in 2019 sometime. So. So yeah, and all the missions will be playable. Like everything will, everything will be playable. So
I'm sure some people are super excited. So, and yeah, why not? I mean, if there's a market, if people are gonna buy it, do it. You know?
Yeah.
No reason. There's no reason why you need to like create a fully new game if the game was obviously phenomenal in the first place, or it wouldn't have been so successful. So no reason not to bring it into the modern day, make it look good.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And as I talked about before, I'll be taking a look at the Riven Brontis CPU cooler, which is a low profile CPU cooler. Very, very small, made for small form factor systems. It's a C-type cooler. Be interesting to see performance based on its size. And the fan is really thin. So we'll see how it performs. But again, it's made for small form factor, but we'll see how that goes. And talking about DDR4, I will be reviewing some RGB DDR4 in ADATA's Spectrix D41. It's DDR4 memory, and actually has a really cool design. On their website, they only show the red heatsink, but I have like the gunmetal heatsink on mine, which looks really good. And it has RGBs at the top, they look really good in person. Like, wait until you see the pictures from the review. Yeah. These really, really look good. I believe, yeah, they're compatible with, I believe, everybody, like Asus, Gigabyte, MSI, and ASRock. So you can control them with that software. And so, yeah, I have a 16 gig kit running at 3000 megahertz, which seems to be more the standard these days, is 3000 megahertz.
Yeah. So this has frequencies ranging from 2666 to 5000?
Probably. Yeah.
Really? I want to see your kit at 5000. Do it.
Yeah. The 5000 megahertz kit probably runs at really high timings, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But yeah, so I have that, and I have an interesting product. It's called Sneak, and this company makes energy drinks for gamers, specifically made for gamers, and they sent us over three different products. Their energy drinks are much like a what would you call it? Pre-workout.
Oh yeah, you know,
like pre-workout, it comes in like the little thingy, and you put it, you mix it with water. Like, these are supplement. The same type of things, but yeah, it's like a supplement. Yeah. Sorry, I'm brain fart today. So these are basically like a supplement. You put it in a with just some water. They do have their own mixer that you can buy too, which they sent us. But I have their blue raspberry, their stealth, and their cherry bomb. I'm actually drinking the cherry bomb now. And I'm gonna, you know, I've used it over the past week to supplement. Like, I usually drink an energy drink. Mm-hmm. So I'm just seeing what this is about and seeing if this really does make a difference, because we've seen a lot of companies come out with these, because gamers are a huge group of people, and we've seen a lot of products come out that are targeted towards gamers. So one, I'm gonna let you know, does it really, not necessarily make me a better gamer, but make me more alert, just like drinking an energy drink would, right?
Yeah.
You know, keep me from being super tired and things like that. I'm also going to go over how this tastes. Like, the blue raspberry and the cherry bomb really taste good. And then I'm going to talk about, you know, what's actually in this drink, and how does that compare to, say, like an energy drink, like a Red Bull or something mm-hmm. like that. So that's what's coming up next week. So we'll have those three things for you guys. Cool. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about the Sneak, because it's a different product for us where, you know, we're usually PC hardware, but I think this has a lot to do with, you know, gaming adjacent. Is a big part of everything. Yes. So we're here at the end of the podcast. We talk about if we did anything cool or geek related over the, you know, over the past week. And I guess it would be 2 weeks, because we took last week off. So
yeah.
Anything?
I don't think so. I've watched some movies, but nothing. Oh yeah. Actually, nope. Okay. I went and saw, what was that? Hold on, bear with me a second. What's the
Ant-Man or whatever that was called?
I saw Ant-Man and Wasp. I think we talked about that already.
I think we did. I'm
but,
not sure.
Yeah, that was good. But no, I went and saw climbing movie.
Climbing movie.
Free Solo. It is the story of, what's his name? Alex Hanau. He climbed El Capitan with no ropes. He's the only person.
Oh, I've heard about this guy.
He's the only person to ever do it solo. Only person to ever do it free solo, and it's pretty incredible movie. It didn't show in many theaters. It only showed in one theater in my town.
Is this a documentary?
It is. Yeah, more but than, it is.
Okay, so he it's like. Not somebody's not playing him.
No, he is. Yeah. And if you look it up, you know how it ends. But like, dude, they still managed to make it super dramatic. It's incredibly interesting. He is a special individual. Like, on every level, he is not you and I at all. And it's a National Geographic documentary, so like, it's phenomenal. Like, the photography, the cinematography is fantastic. Like, it's nice. Really, really good. It's well worth checking out. If you can... Yeah, it's got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. There's nothing about it that I would, like, ding it for at all.
Nice.
So, yep.
And he's only 30. He's only 33, so he's a year younger than me. That's crazy. Yeah,
it's nuts.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I know I've heard people mention him in some podcasts I listen to. Yeah. So yeah, that's something I would definitely be interested in.
Well, worth checking out.
Cool. I haven't really watched anything. Yeah. But I moved, right. So that's why we took last week off. So I moved from a one bedroom apartment, technically two bedroom, but they took the wall out. So I had like one huge living room, which made up my home office and where I shot all the Think Computers videos. Now I moved to a three story townhouse, which I have a ton of space. So the entire third floor is my office now.
Nice.
So yeah, there's a lot of moving, breaking down a studio and three test systems plus all the other stuff that you have and plus my main system and everything. And I mean you moved this past year, or was that last year?
This next summer will be 2 years, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, you moved.
When you're into this, and I mean, even if you're not like reviewing computer hardware, if you're an enthusiast, you know how stuff just stacks up.
Yeah, I mean, I had so much stuff, and I mean, I still have so much stuff to go through, but the office is set up. The studio is pretty much all done. And I've taken some time to really organize everything. And I bought like a bunch of bins and like all kinds of stuff to keep this place organized, because when your office is not organized, it doesn't make you that productive either. So really excited to have this much bigger space where I can do more. It just makes the whole process easier too. As far as recording, so hopefully we'll have more videos out for you guys and everything like that. And I just don't, I like, I'm not working out of what was a living room, so I can actually go downstairs to a living room and relax. Like, it just gives you that separation of work and relaxation, I guess. Yeah. Which I didn't have at my old place.
Great.
That's what I've been doing, man. I really like this place, and yeah, hopefully it sounds good. I mean, I'm in the new office now, so hopefully
it does. I feel it does. Know, everyone will have to let us know, but
yeah, let us know how it sounds. I do have more space, and it's much. And the thing is, too, is like this townhouse, and you don't hear anything in this place. Like other place, like I live in an apartment building, so you would hear other people and different things and all that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
With this, you don't have that.
Yeah. How's the ambulance traffic in the new area?
It's you heard that on ambulance and firefighters. I'm like I live in the city still, but I feel like I'm in the suburbs now just for how quiet it is. It's really quiet around here. You don't hear any of that stuff. But it's only literally like 10 minutes away from my old place. It's the same area. It's just, like I said, we found this place. And you know what's funny is we found it on Facebook Marketplace of all places.
Facebook is Facebook Marketplace now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But it was just like, I didn't even think about it. And then I just randomly, I don't even know how I saw it, but I just saw it on Facebook somehow. I just saw it, really liked it, and we moved in like a week. Like it was just like saw it, got it, moved it away.
Yeah, because you didn't say anything to any of us about it, so it's just like, oh really, okay.
Well, it was just everything happened so fast. It was like, okay, now I like when we decided we got it, I was like, okay, I have to pack up all my stuff, and get everything ready and break down the systems, because while I can go back and forth with my car only fits so much. And, you know, we had to run a U-Haul. So like all the big stuff needed to be broken down, and all of the big PC cases and stuff that just like won't fit in my car need to be broken down and put together and everything like that. So it was just like really quick. I didn't tell anybody. And then I put it on Facebook a day after we moved or something like that. So it's been a crazy, crazy week, but we're back on track here. Really excited to be back on the podcast. I did miss doing it last week because there was some exciting stuff last week, but yeah. Back on there and a lot more awesome content coming. So definitely stay tuned, guys. And as I always say, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if we're talking about a product or a news story or something like that, you can click through and get even more information. If you're searching for us, it's just Think Computers, all one word. It's on all social media, as well as all of your different podcast software. So until next time, catch you guys later.